Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I'm glad you got up and got out, even after a great night, huh? let me introduce myself a little more. I just want to let you know that I really don't generally have a problem speaking before people. I love to speak. I love to teach the Word of God. I teach a Bible study every week for over 7 years now. And that's always been my mainstay in my week, you know, the thing that I look forward to, the thing I prepare for all week. And, all right, welcome. Sit, come up front, because I don't have a microphone.
What session is this?
This morning turned to dancing.
That's the wrong one.
That's okay. So anyway, Tana asked me to speak and tell my story. I lost a daughter 8 years ago, and when she asked me to do that, I didn't get the excitement that I usually do about speaking, because if you've lost someone, you know there's a lot of different things that that brings up, and it's not easy to go there, as we say. Come on in, come right up front if you would. Well, let's first go before our Father, if you will. Oh God, thank you for this chance to just share your work in my life, God. Thank you for an opportunity to testify of your greatness. Lord, I pray that every heart here would be touched, that every heart here would be changed and molded, and God, that you would speak to every woman here, that everyone would be encouraged and strengthened today. And Father, I just ask for your guidance, and Lord, that you would keep me from telling too much of my story and not staying focused on you and what you have done. God, help me to share the stories that would help these women that are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so easy when we tell our story to go off onto tangents, isn't it? So, but God is faithful, and so I made notes, and I'm going to try to keep to them a little bit, but you know that when you share your story, it not only kind of opens up the old wounds, but there's a chance that you take, there's a risk that you take, that the people that you're speaking to won't understand what you're going through, or that they'll over-sympathize or under-sympathize. They won't put value on what you have shared. Have you ever experienced that when you've gone and told your story and what you get in return is their story, or at least you did this, or, you know, at least you had 3 weeks, or at least, you know, you don't have tons of memories, or, you know what I mean? They, a lot of times people come back with another story. And one thing I have learned through my grieving is that my story is my story, and it's precious to me. And my Father knows it all, and if I can't convey it when I go to speak it, when I share it, then there's still somebody who understands. And the people that went through it know. You know what I mean? And I tell you that not because I'm afraid you're going to do that to me, but I tell you that because I'm sure that's what you experience too. It's one of the frustrations of grieving. It's part of going through loss. People aren't going to understand unless they've been there. And nobody's been through the same story as you, except perhaps your mate. And they're going to handle it different. Or maybe it was your sister or brother that went through the loss of your mother or father, and they are handling it different. And one of the things that we need to remember is that the root of all unhappiness is comparison. And if we're comparing how we deal with our grief to how he's dealing with it, then we're going to be frustrated. And it's never going to be easy that way. So that was a valuable lesson that I had to learn, that I'm not going to get caught up in the trap of comparison. And there's a trap of self-pity, too. And we got to be careful there. One thing that we learned is that we need to take control of our thoughts. the Word of God says to take captive every thought. And we need to take those things that are painful and still give God glory and look for what He's doing in them. And very often, when there's a great loss in our life, I like to think of it like a drain. You start thinking on these things and it sucks you down. It's a spiral, and once that gets started, it's very hard to stop it and to allow, to bring joy back in. So when I was going through my loss, I studied the book of Philippians, and I highly recommend that. Another thing that can be frustrating is that people want to fix the problem. They want to fix that something they cannot fix. There's nothing anyone can do. It is over. The loss is done. And nobody can change that. And we can get real frustrated with people when they give us advice, especially when they give us poor advice. I don't know how many times people told me, well, you're young enough, have another child. Like, that's going to replace. I did have another daughter, and I'll tell that, but she will never replace the one that I lost. And but this is the thing that I have learned, is that when people give you things that just are really cruel, we need to take and look into their heart instead of their words and understand that what they want to do is fix it for me. And you know what? That's a reflection of our Father. He wants to fix things for us too. And so if we can take a look at their heart and know that, you know what, they just don't know what to say, and really their heart is they want to help, instead of getting offended and letting that relationship be torn apart, I try to draw nearer to them and understand that they just don't know what to do. I had one relationship. It was an acquaintance. It was a lady that our kids played ball together, and every day that they had practice, we would watch our little ones on the playground while our big ones were playing, and we would just stand there and talk and just really enjoyed one another's company. I really was getting to know this woman, until the day that she said something about how the playground was dedicated to a little girl named Rebecca who had died on a horse accident. And she was just like, I can't even imagine. I don't know how people can get through that or survive. She started sharing with me, and I said, well, I can. I lost a little girl named Rebecca myself. And the conversation, it was like she just went white and didn't know what to do. I couldn't get her back into conversation again, ever. This was years ago. I see her all the time, well, now and then, at games and stuff, and just can't, it's awkward now. And it's because there's a loss there that she can't comprehend, because there's something in her own life that maybe she can't deal with my pain. And I need to know that it's not me, And that's the thing that we need to know, is that each person is responding out of their own hurt. And I could get all hung up on, I'm an outcast now because I don't fit in, because it's too much for people to handle, you know what I mean? So our focus needs to be on what their heart is, because that's what God does for us, doesn't He? He looks into our heart. We do so many stupid things. We say so many things that are wrong. And yet, He judges us for where our heart is at. So, He wants us to be that way. One thing that I learned recently through a counseling course I'm taking is that when we go through a loss, a great loss like that, when any kind of shattered dreams happen, our brain actually suffers like a concussion. It's almost like a concussion. And what happens is the cognitive side and the emotional side kind of separate. So you know how you say, I'm just not myself? It's true. The emotional side is functioning separately from the logical side. And so there will be things, like for me, I remember one day driving down wherever, I was just driving along and some man was riding his bike and he had these big, strong and very, he was just a big man, large, muscular man, and it just made me burst into tears. Uncontrollably, it just, that man made me think of my little itty bitty girl. She was so tiny. She was only 4 pounds and she just 16 inches long. She fit from my hand to my elbow. And for some reason, doesn't make any logical sense, seeing his big strong body made me think of my frail little one and lose all emotion. And those kind of things happen because it's not connected. Our brain is still healing. It needs to go through, I don't know if that helps you, but that helped me so much to know that this is actually, this isn't, I'm not crazy. Flashbacks can happen and I can lose control like that. But the other side of it is sometimes we can act as if we have no emotion to what we are dealing with. You know, the shock of what happened and we're still laughing as if nothing were real. And that's the other side of it. We need to allow ourselves time to heal, and everybody heals at a different rate. And we need to not be hard on each other because we're dealing with it differently. I guess I covered more than I thought. Well, today I am gonna share my story, and first I want to share a little picture with you. You know what that is? That's a rear view mirror. I did a whole Bible study on the rear view mirror once, and I just like the word picture because what we're gonna do today is take a look in my rear view mirror. And I'm hoping that it will help you drive on to go through your windshield, to be focused on what is ahead. If you think about it, when you're driving down the road, if you were staring in your rearview mirror, that could be quite dangerous, couldn't it? And that's what can happen to us. When we've got something that we're so hurt by that we can't take our eyes off of, we sometimes lose sight of where we're going and what God wants us to do. And but it's okay to take a glance back now and then and know that what God has done and what's creeping up on us again. But we don't want to stay focused there. And that's the point I wanted to make. But would you look with me in Philippians 4. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true. Nope, that's not where I wanted to start, sorry. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. This scripture was such a strength for me in my time of grief. To learn to look at the joy. I learned to look, to find joy even when there's total unhappiness. And that's my prayer for you today, is that you will find that as well. And the answer on how to do that is right here. Don't be anxious for anything. But first, let your gentleness be known. When I was studying this, I just really felt convicted that I needed to stand before the church and let people know what was going on. I hesitate because I don't want to get into, I don't want to get off track and come back and forth on you. But remember that. So let your gentleness be known. We need to share with one another. Yes, we need to hold our cards close and realize that we don't want to share with somebody that's just going to step all over it. We don't want to cast our pearl before swine. But we do need to share. We do need to share with one another our burdens. What is the law of Christ? To bear one another's burdens. And if we don't allow someone to bear our burden, we're gypping them of fulfilling the law of Christ. And you know what? Relationships are so strengthened when we allow people to know our hurt. Think about how you feel when someone shares your hurt, their hurt with you. Don't you feel precious to them? Don't you feel honored that they would share with you? You want your friends to have that. You want your family to have that. The relationships that are built during the times of grief are huge. My girlfriend Tracy, who introduced me, was a friend that went through this battle with me. I remember the day that she came up to me. I was in line at the car with the carpool for the school, and she walked over to me to my car, and she could tell this was another tough day, and she just reached into my car and gave me a hug, and left. She just said, I think her only words were, "Can I give you a hug?" And she left. She didn't look to see if that made me cry and did she win, you know what I mean? Some people want to feel like they fixed something and helped you. She just loved me and walked away and let me deal with how I needed to deal with it. And that was precious to me. That taught me that that's all some people need. Sometimes you don't even know what you need, you know? And sometimes the key is to look for what others need is by knowing what you need. And so I really believe that why we go through things is so we can help others.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Which brings me to where? Corinthians 1. Second Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. If we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. What's he saying? This is Paul. He suffered greatly. We know his story. He's saying all that he suffered is for a purpose, and so is all that you are suffering. It is for a purpose because God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. And if it didn't rain on the just, then how would the unjust have any idea how to deal with it? So what I've come to learn is that it's actually an honor when God allows a challenge to come into your life because he is trusting you to deal with it in a way that he will be glorified and others will be helped through their challenges. And so I came to see that as an honor. I'm going to tell you my story. I need to start with a little before Rebecca. When Tana asked me to share about Rebecca, I said to her, I will. You know, I'll be obedient to God. But may I share with them the other part, because I also went through a very difficult divorce, and that's another form of grief that is just, it's different. I mean, one, like I said, we don't want to compare anything, one pain to another. It doesn't relate. It doesn't matter. Each, whatever we are in is what is difficult now. And if someone else is dealing with some other pain, that is what's difficult to them, and it should not be compared to mine. And same thing, I don't need to be comparing my two different winter storms. But one thing to realize is that a divorce is not only a grief and a loss, it's a rejection. Somebody chose to leave me. You know, it's not final, it's somebody I'm still going to see, but that's actually harder sometimes. So I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew the Lord, I loved the Lord. I had sought Him all my life, had seen His faithfulness since I was a little girl. But when I fell in love, I just, that relationship became everything to me. I kind of put God as a second. I'd give up my devotion time to have time with Him or do something for Him, or He became my idol. He had a lot of needs. He was very insecure, and I just began living for Him and trying to fix everything for Him. And don't we do that as women? We just, relationships are all that matters to us. And I slowly started realizing what I had done, and in the midst of it all, I had started doing things like helping Him with His ensnarements. I would almost enable His sin. I would back up His lies. And when God started convicting me of that, I would, I believe I did it gently, but I would stand up. Like I can remember a few times. I remember the first time He was again speaking a lie to our friend. Was standing there, the three of us, and He's telling this friend how we had done something, and I, the first time, said, "We did?" Instead of, "Oh, I just sit there and thinking I was being a submissive woman," and trying to back Him up. And it was like, shocked Him that I wasn't backing Him up this time. And I slowly started standing up for what was right and not, but it did. It tore the relationship apart a bit, and He'd already been having other relationships even from the beginning, before we were married, and I didn't know until He left me. But there was just a lot of sin. There was a lot of entrapments in His life that I just thought I would fix, and I couldn't. And it was a long, hard road to figure out that I couldn't fix Him. I couldn't.